this evening, we receive your word in its clearness, in its simplicity and accuracy. We are doers of your word, always and always. Amen. Glory to God. So we are looking at the Christian prayer ministry. Hallelujah. The Christian prayer ministry. And we said, we learned to take this direction in this spirit. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. So we have a whole lot to look at today. So we said this will be Jesus' instructions within the 40 days. Amen. And our instruction will be to make disciples. Glory to God. Amen. Mark 16:15. It says, go therefore and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned, and the sign shall follow them that believe. Say, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. Say, they will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly sin, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them. Mark that. It is that the Lord has gone away. No, the Lord walking with them. Amen. So that means the walking ministry is God walking with us. Hallelujah. The believer is never left alone. Matthew 28 says, lo, I am with you, is a fact. A very vital fact of our Christian life, that God is with us. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. So when you take on songs like, he's coming back again, you have to say, where from where? Because he never said he left. I am with you always. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 13, I was talking to someone over the week. And that was saying something about, being in distress, oh God, time to hear your outcry has come, oh God, intervene and come. I say, no. Never forget the fact that God is with you. Hebrews 13. Hallelujah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's a surety that we have in scripture that God never left us. Hallelujah. See, God never leaves. You must always be assured of that. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord walking with them. So that means in the preaching of the gospel, is God walking with them. Hallelujah. The believer is never alone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Things might get a bit messy in the natural, but God never leaves. Hallelujah. Say, God never leaves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God never leaves. Oh God, where are you? No. He's with you. Hallelujah. He's with you. Glory to God. So we'll find that instruction to make disciples, and in the making of disciples, preaching the gospel, is God walking with them. I'll jump to John 20, verse 23. Look at what it says. It says, whosoever sees ye remit and remit them. Before then he had told them, as the Father sent me, so sent I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sincere remits and remits. And whosoever you retain and retain. And we said last week that it is only God that forgives sins. Right? It's only God that forgives sins. So when you find forgiveness of sins now handed over to man, it tells you that in the preaching of the gospel, right, what you find is God carrying out his facts through his men in forgiving sins. And when you put them side by side with Luke 24:47, you will discover that forgiveness of sin is what happens when a man believes the gospel. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached. So forgiveness of sins is found in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Not when you go to meet someone to confess your sins. Hope you're following me. No, that's not it. But forgiveness of sins is found in the preaching of the gospel. When a man believes the gospel, his sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Repentance and remission also in the preaching is name among all nations. So what you call the gospel,
gospel is the forgiveness of sin.
Hallelujah. So when a man receives the gospel, he's born again, he's saved. His sins are forgiven him. Wow, what kind of sin is it? Past is no, past, present, and future. Hallelujah. Are all encapsulated in what Christ has done. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. I remember years back, 2009 or thereabouts, that's when I was 2008, I had a conversation with a
guy who was just getting into the grace message, and he said, how can you say? Because who was this guy? The first person I heard that from, your sins are forgiven you, past, present, and future, was from EWK. Yeah, I said EWK, Pastor Kumi. I heard that. I was surprised to hear that from him. He just said it along the line, one teaching one day. So I heard it yesterday. So, past, present, and future, can that be true? But that's true. So, years after, I was discussing with someone, and I said, your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven you. And that person was like, that is the license to see. I said, that's not the license to see. Amen. It's what Jesus has done. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Therefore, the believer doesn't have a sin problem. The only problem is sin. No, your problem is not sin. Hallelujah. Sin problem has been dealt with in the new birth. Okay, you hear me? Amen. Look at Romans chapter 8. I mean Romans chapter 6. He says, shall we continue to live in sin that grace may abide? Say, nay. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Say, don't you know as many of you who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death? So you are buried with him with his baptism. So that Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that you too should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Away from sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Amen. I am born of God. I don't have a sin problem. Glory to God. The believer doesn't have a sin problem. So Matthew 28, verses 8, verses 20. It says teaching them. Teaching them. So we said, when Jesus used the word teaching them, it therefore means that Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. Was that what we said last week? Okay. Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. Where your worship of God is to the degree, or I put it like this today, is a where the efficiency of your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we said this is the reason why Paul and all of the apostles, writers of the epistles, when they pray for believers, what they pray for majorly is concerning knowledge. Why? Because the Christian faith is about knowledge. Hallelujah. You can't serve God effectively when you don't know Him well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you still find people who do feet washing service. Feet washing. People come to church and then they wash your feet. And the guy is doing spa in church. Let's open a spa shop inside the church. Let's know we're doing spa. Hallelujah. We got spa service. They just the brand new feet washing in spa service. Hallelujah. But that is, this is their worship of God. It's to their knowledge of Him. They think when Jesus said to them in John chapter 13, look at John 13. And many times people miss that. Look at John 13. Are you there? And they think when Jesus said in verse 15, I've given you an example that ye should do as I've done to you. They think it is washing of the feet. Because in the verses before, Jesus washed their feet. Look at verse 4. He rose from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. Hallelujah. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon and to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord,
Does that wash my feet? Watch this.
Watch this. Because when people turn into all you have to do is feet washing service. Say, will you wash my feet?
And look at what Jesus said. Verse 7. Remember Jesus was washing their feet. Right? Look at verse 7. It says, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know after. Did you see that? Meaning, the essence of what I'm doing, you will understand it later on. That's what he's saying to them. Hallelujah. Verse 8. And Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Did Jesus mention feet here?
No. Did he mention feet? Say, if I wash thee not. Peter was talking about feet. So he said, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. And for you to think it's about feet, then you are missing it. He's talking about the washing in itself. Hallelujah.
Hope you're hearing me. He didn't mention feet there. He said, if I wash thee not, then you have no part in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, verse 9. And so Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. He didn't even understand. Amen. He said, wash my head, wash my body, oh, wash me off. And Jesus said, if I wash thee not, that's very vital. Look at that thing. And Jesus said to me, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. Did you see that? But he's clean every week. And ye are clean, but not all. And he was referencing Judas. Hallelujah. Not all. Amen. For he knew that, who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Did you see that? So he said, you are clean. So he was not talking about washing of feet. We're talking about what you found in believing. Hallelujah. So when a man is saved, he's cleaned. Hallelujah. So when he says in verse 13, I'm giving you an example that you should, verse 15 that you should follow. Is it to follow feet washing or preaching the gospel? Is it preaching the gospel or feet washing?
Preaching the gospel.
Because in the gospel, sins are forgiven. Man is now made clean. Did you see that?
In the preaching of the gospel.
When a man believes this when a man believes the gospel, his sins are forgiven him, he is clean. Hallelujah. So knowledge is very vital. Knowledge is very, very vital. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians 1:9. Paul. To the church at Philippi. I gave us the background last week. He wanted them to walk in love more. And look at what he said, verses 9. He said, and did I pray that your love may abound yes more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Did you see that? He wanted them to walk in love towards one another, walking in the spirit, and then he prays for them to grow in knowledge. Did you see that?
One of the striking one is Philemon. Philemon.
Philemon. Philemon. Philemon 4. Or Philemon chapter 1 verse 4, for those who will be looking for chapter 4. Philemon 4, it says, I thank my God, making mention of thee, always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord and towards all the saints, that the communication of your faith may become effectual. Now what effectual means, to be effective, operative. Say, by the acknowledging there is the word epignosis, full and precise knowledge. By the, how do you put it? May the coming scripture by full and precise knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? And he wants him to walk towards someone who has offended him. And he prays for him to grow in knowledge. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So knowledge is very vital. Let's look at John. Third John. And Third John. Verses 2, on top of verse 1. It says, so the elder, Third John is before Jude and before Revelation. It says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Several people have used this for financial prosperity. Some people have used this for healing. Very funny. Amen. I wish above all things that thou prosper. God wants you to prosper in your pocket. Well, let's see this. Now he used the word prosper there. That word prosper in the Greek is the word eudo. E-U-O-D-O-O. It's from two words. Ua, E-U, which is to be well. To be well. Another word, hodos. H-O-D-O-S, which means to be successful or fruitful. To be successful or fruitful. That word, hodo, is used in Romans chapter 1 verse 10. I'm going to be fast because we have a lot to cover today. Romans 1 10. It says, make a request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. That's the word prosperous. Prosperous journey doesn't mean financial journey. It means to have a journey without hindrance. Did you see that? Prosperous journey, a journey without hindrance. Amen. So he uses the word prosperous in relation to what? Journey. Did you see that? Amen. 1 Corinthians 16. From verse 1 into 2, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 into 2. It says, now concerning the collection of the saints, I have given orders to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Say, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now is this for, yeah, Paul used it concerning giving, right? And he instructs that you give proportionately to how you've increased in your income. Did you see that? So yeah, the word theodo is used for both a successful journey, right? Right? And also used for giving. Right? How you prosper. Amen. Amen. So when we get back to 3 John, it therefore means that we'll have to read in context to know how that word prosper was used by John. Because we've seen it's used for a journey and used for giving. Right? So let's see how it is used properly in John. And we'll get to know that by the use of other words within context. Let's see some other words in context there. Amen. It says, I wish above all things. Let's look at that word to wish there. Wish. The word wish there is the word in the Greek eudomai, E-U-D-O-M-A-I, eudomai. That word wish there is used for how you pray or how you will. To will for something or to pray for something. So you can say, I will above all things or I pray above all things. Did you see that? Amen? Amen? So you can put, I pray above all things, right? Now when you use the word above all things, it shows a desire, right? A critical desire. I wish above everything. So I'm telling you, this is my desire, right? Right? That thou prosper and be in health. That's another word to look at for, health. The word health there is the word eugaino. H-U-G-A-I-N-O. H-U-G-A-I-N-O. Am I too fast? I'm not fast, right? Okay, the word health there is the word eugaino. It's used for what is well, what is wholesome. Eugaino. H-U-G-A-I-N-O. What is well, what is wholesome. Wholesome. Yeah, what do you find in Luke chapter 5? Let's open our Bibles to Luke 5, everybody. Luke 5. I'll wait for you to get there. You need to see all this. Amen.
That he who has begun a good work in you, he shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He shall perform it
until the day of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Luke 5, are you there? Are you there? Okay. Verse 31. It says, and Jesus answering said to them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. That's the word whole there. Whole. To be well. You see that? To be well. To be okay. To be sound. You see that? Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 10. Luke 7:10. This is Jesus and the centurion. So when they went back, and they that were sent returning to the house found this servant whole. Do you see that whole that had been sick means to be restored? Do you see that?
Amen. So many times, maybe people read this and think what John is talking about, they're talking about healing for the body.
We're going to see whether that is what God is talking about. Some people say it's financial. They see that. So, do you see that is useful to be whole, to be well. Well in the physical body. Did you see that? Amen. However, if you get to 1 Timothy, quickly, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:10. It says, for warmongers, for them that defy themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Did you see that? So that word is the word sound doctrine. It's used for sound doctrine. You guys know the jache. Did you see that? Sound. You guys know sound. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3. 2 Timothy 4 3, quickly. It says, this is Paul to Timothy. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Did you see that? Sound doctrine. Do you see how it's used? It's used for sound doctrine again. Amen. Sound doctrine. Look at 2 Timothy 1:13. Are you there? Say, hold fast the form of sound words. Did you see that? Sound words. Titus. Titus is after Timothy. Get to Titus 1. Titus 1:13. It is. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith.
This is that. So we see sound doctrine, right? Right? Sound words, right? Sound in faith.
Okay, sound in faith. Let's see another one. Titus 2 verses 1 into 2. So if I speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You see that? Sound doctrine. 2, that the aged man be sober, grave, separate, sound in faith. Did you see that? Sound in faith. So it shows that the word euganeo or health will be determined by context of usage also. Did you see that?
So we see it as to be well in the body and for the faith. Right? So we have to go back to the text. So we see two words and prosper, right? Right?
Yeah.
And sound doctrine. Amen. And sound. Amen. We've seen those two words.
To prosper, I would say context to reveal that, and then health, context to reveal it, right? So let's get back to context. Let's go back. Amen. Amen. So we said, for prosper, we found it in journey and in giving. Right? Right? For health, we found it in the physical body and in the and in doctrine. Let's see another one. Third John, quickly. Get back to Third John. Let's see what John is talking about here. Says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul. Okay, the word soul there is the word in the Greek suke. Suke. P-S-U-C-H-E. Suke.
Make sure you're not sleeping. You're listening.
Okay, that was suke, right? I know suke is natural life, so zoe is God's life. Let's see that.
Amen.
So I've moved from suke to zoe.
So I've moved. I've not heard that before. Yeah? Ah. You have found in health and
in health. You can make that laughter.
I
won't
be like this. I don't have to pay. I have the
wish. Amen? So, and just thank God for your life. That you are growing in health. Amen? Suke. That word suke. Let me use this. Yes, I'm not saying it. Right? Okay. The word suke can be used for both spiritual life and natural life, or used for both. It's a word that can be used for spiritual life or natural life, or can be used for both. Both spiritual and natural life. In Luke 12 verse 19, rush back to Luke 12 19. Let's get back there. Luke 12 19. It says, and I will say to my soul, that is the rich fool. It says, I will say to my soul, so thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and merry. Idol worship. Right? So, but there, suke there is used for a man's being. It says, my soul, soul, eat. So, a man's being was talking. Amen. So, there, suke is used for a man's being. Acts 2. Acts 2, verses 41. Acts 2:41, quickly. Verse 41. It says, and they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls.
So is it 3,000 natural life or 3,000 individual? Amen.
So 3,000 souls refer to 3,000 lives, individuals. Right? 3,000 lives. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 13 verse 1. Romans 13 1. Are you there? Are you there? Glory to God.
Are you Romans 13? You are not there yet. Are you not there?
Hallelujah. Romans 13:1. Are you there? It says, let every soul be subjected to higher powers. For there is no power but God. The power that be are ordained of God. So we talk about souls there was referring to everyone. Right? And we're talking about being subject to authorities. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So everyone. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 45 is used for natural life. Natural life. It says the first man Adam was a living soul. Natural. Did you see that? Natural life was a living soul. And the second man is a life-giving spirit. Hebrews 10:38. Hope you're following me. Hebrews 10:38. God.
Christian cycle.
Okay. Are you there?
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
That's it. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. This is God speaking. So when God says my soul will have no pleasure, what is he referring to? The spirit. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, soul there, suke, is used for the spirit. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. 1 Peter 1:22. Says, see, ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto offering love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with pure heart fervently. So, soul there is used for the heart. You have purified your heart. So soul is used for heart there. Amen. Amen. So when you get back to third John, where he says, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul. Soul there refers to one's life, one's being, one's condition. Hallelujah. Even as your soul. So the soul there is used for one's life, his being, his condition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he uses another word there before the soul. Even. Even there is the word katos. He used to distinguish between two different objects. That word katos is used to distinguish between two different objects. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So something to note is the fact that the word prosper was mentioned twice. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, if not thy soul prospereth. It's the same word. Right? You do. It's used twice. Now,
if John prayed for he to prosper and be in health, right? Let's see the verse preceding this text, which is verse 1. Let's see what he's praying for.
Let's get back to 3 John, verse 1. It says, to the elder, right, the elder unto the world beyond Gaius, whom I love in the truth. See that?
No, what are not in 3 John? Where is 3 John? I mean, you should be there. Amen? 3 John. John is before Jude is before Revelation. Because I don't know the import of what I'm teaching until you are out there. But maybe when your father opened the third door, you were in second king. You're reading something, you were even looking at it. You don't know the import of reading, of studying the scriptures. Look at Philip. Philip was called by the Holy Ghost and he met up with the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah. Imagine Philip does not know that verse. How would he explain to the Ethiopian eunuch? What is not talking about? He's talking about himself or another prophet. I believe I just said, sorry, when Pastor was teaching me in church, I was sleeping. Come on. Bible says Philip joined him in the chariot. And from that verse, he taught Jesus in all the scriptures. So that means Philip knew that verse. Knew what is the plan of the Spirit. Amen. Many times you don't know the impact of what you are doing until you are out there.
When this is the verse that is placed,
or when this is the spirit that is placed in front of you to win the soul, and you begin to come, begin to cook beans and eat.
Amen. Okay, let's see something here. Now, it says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. whom I love in the truth. Oh, is it not? So that means that phrase there, whom I love in the truth, becomes the basis of the subsequent verses. Becomes the basis of the subsequent verses. Look at verses 3. It says, for I rejoice. Just put your hands in verse 2. I love what, okay, I'm not going to do that to us, because you are student of the word. Do that to people who nobody writes a letter.
If you look at nobody, how many people write a letter? Alright, then how is your journey? How are you? Oh, you now switch in the middle of the letter. You have a file and now switch from a letter that was talking about employment. Now we're talking about I'm also a Man United fan. How? You will lose the job.
Don't mention, if I am the employer and I see man what? I don't think I can employ a Man U fan to work with me. It's not a job.
Or you that you never walk alone. You will walk alone for life.
Amen. Glory to God. You will walk seriously alone. But you want to steal my heart, just say I'm a Chelsea fan. Even if what you are saying is off track, I'll pick it.
Yeah, God bless you. Amen.
Amen. But just truly, you can't be writing the letter and at the middle of the letter you divert and come back. Right? You must follow the same pattern. But let's leave that for today. Look at verses 3. It says, for I rejoice greatly. Remember we said, whom I love in the truth becomes the basis for the writing. Look at verses 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth, which is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Did you see that? It's related to verses 1. Whom I love in the truth, you walk in the truth. Verses 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Hope you have seen that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, that shows you what John is describing here. Is Gaius walk in the truth. And when you hear walking in the truth, it implies spiritual truth or spiritual conduct. Walking in the truth is walking in love. Walking in the truth is spiritual conduct, spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. And why did we say that? He said, whom I love in the truth. That is spiritual. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 5 into 6. Say, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. What is he talking about here? It shows you that Gaius is a faithful brother. Is a faithful brother. He has good works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you read Romans 16:23, Paul commended Gaius, that Gaius was hospitable. Paul himself. So that means the guy has a good report. Romans 16:23. He has a good report. He was a good guy. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Very good guy. Then in verse 11, look at the instruction he gave to him. He said, beloved, he said, follow not that which is evil. Do you see that? But that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. He said, Demetrius has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and will also bear record. And ye know that our record is truth. I hope you are seeing that. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that. So, he gives him instructions concerning Demetrius that he also has a good report. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you get back, sorry, let me get to this. Okay. Sorry. So,
remember we said, when he says, I wish above all things, it shows you the prayer, right? I pray, right? Now, so that means Paul's prayer, I mean John's prayer rather, for Gaius,
based on what we've read in the preceding text, which is spiritual, I mean for his work in the truth, that shows that John's prayer for Gaius will be for spiritual well-being. Have you seen that? Right? Was concerning his work. Hallelujah. And he intended that he should walk like that towards a guy, another brother, Demetrius. Hope you are following that. So he commends him, he prays, and then commends him for how he has been walking. Hope you are seeing that. It's just like Philippus and all his works. Now Gaius wants, now John wants Gaius to extend the same love to Demetrius, and then he tells him, he's a guy to bear with the good report that this guy is in the truth. So he wants him to work, and then he prays for him. And that prayer will be what concerning his work also. Hallelujah. Then also too, he wants him about someone else. Hallelujah. But that's not what we're looking at today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the prayer there will be for his spiritual well-being. So, since he opened the letter, let me look at it. Okay, sorry. If you go back again to 2 John chapter 2, he opens the same letter to 2 John 2, just before 2 from verse 1. He says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only, but also all that have known the truth. You see that? For the truth's sake, who dwelt in us shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace of God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Do you see that? So here also, if you read 2 John 2, verse 1 to 4, it shows you that he was also talking about spiritual well-being. Hallelujah. Amen. Spiritual well-being. So when you get back to Third John and you see that word katos there, when you use the word katos, it's to show a distinction between two phrases or two things. It implies that he wasn't talking about he wasn't praying for financial purposes. No. Rather spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth will be by God's word. So he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Now the prosper there wasn't talking about monetary prosperity. Amen. Is it that prosperity there? Is it towards his work in love, work in the truth? That was the work in the truth? Yes. And be in health. Now, would that be soundness in the doctrine in God's word? Yes. It is even as thy soul prospers. Hallelujah. Okay, follow it up. Hallelujah.
Even as thy soul prospers.
So, the prayer there in 3 John was a prayer for his work. Spiritual growth by God's word. Hallelujah. Just the same way Paul will pray for the church at Ephesus. Paul will pray for Philemon. Did you see that? Why? That's it.
Because your Christian faith or your worship of God is effective to the degree of your knowledge of Him.
Your Christian faith or your Christian walk, put it this way, your worship of God is effective to your knowledge of Him. Look at what Peter will say. Peter gives an instruction. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says there, but grow in grace
and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both, to him be glory, both now and forever. Hallelujah. It's about growth in grace. Now when you use the word and there, it means growing grace that feeds in the knowledge of our Lord. Hallelujah. So when you use the word grow in grace, that's spiritual growth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And how does it call spiritual growth? How would you grow spiritually? It says by the knowledge of our Lord. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So it's very vital. Your Christian walk or your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge of God. Therefore, last week we began saying that the essence of scripture is what? Worship. Did you see that? The essence of scripture. No Bible, no this, no Greek, no Hebrew, no the word is worship. That's the essence. And I told us as a young
a younger preacher asked me, younger than I am, I'm still young, asked me a question. He said, "Oh, this knowledge of God, so what is it all about? Why do we, what is the essence of scripture?" And I said, worship. Worship. Hallelujah. Worship. The worship of God. And we saw Job last week, right? We said Job was a guy who knew God by what people said. By what people said. And I said that is the wrong way to know God.
The wrong way to know God. Popular opinion. Heaven help those who help themselves. Where will you find that? How will you find that? I told us that when I was in junior secondary school, someone came into our class, a senior, to preach to us. And then he told us heaven help those who help themselves, approaching exams. What do you mean of that? You can't say such. Because you can't find it anywhere in scripture. Don't make assumptions.
I told you, don't even know a memory verse you don't know in context. Amen. I can say that to you. Because I have taught people memory verses.
But I'm telling you today, don't have a favorite scripture. Read scripture in context. Know what it's talking about, because that is the only way to know God. When God, see, when the scriptures are given, is God telling you this is how you know me. So if God has given you the key to knowing him, right? This is how you know him. So why don't you read it well? You take your time to read it. Hallelujah. Don't be careless about reading the scriptures. Don't be careless. Some people are careless.
Just open the Bible. Many, many, many more. Father,
and God bless you. The next thing you find is Jesus wept. So what will you do with that?
You need to cry.
Oh God, anyone has your heart show me tonight. Some people use the Bible for audacity. Who does that?
The Bible is not a jar. I said that to us last week. You don't know God by what you watch on Nollywood, because the people who are acting pastors in Nollywood aren't even born again. All you know about God is Nollywood. Not just people know about Nollywood, epic. That's all you know about God.
Shango Nam blast you now when you back your Bible like this. That's all you know about God.
Sorry.
What are the gifts of the Spirit that you know God? What are the gifts of the Spirit? Say, me I have my gift is dream. Are you okay?
My gift is dream. My gift is football. How can that be your gift for God? Football. That's not what we are joking. That's not what we are doing comedy. How can even your gift for God is football?
Amen. See, my gift from God is to sing. There's something wrong with your brain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We know the gift of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
And those are the gifts of the Spirit.
So are you trying to say singing is not sure? What about those that are born to sing? Show your right. Yeah, it doesn't mean that kind of wisdom. Who is born to sing? Who is born to sing? The natural what? Ask the person. The difference between you and the person that you are careless with what you put in your mouth. The person is careful. Remember years back, my brother was singing soprano.
Every year, he'll be eating alligator pepper. Me, I will sit down with my cold water.
I'll be drinking.
You tell me his voice will not be better than mine.
Which means I have to be you one.
Amen.
Glory to God. You think Dixon's boy, he was born like that. He didn't train it that way. Glory to God.
So that's the difference. Amen?
Yes.
See, my natural gift. Did you see? The worship of God is just.
Hallelujah.
Because Job knew God. I showed us. Job knew God by what people said. And I said to us, some people will read Job chapter 1 into chapter 6. And they will form opinion about God. Whereas in chapter 42, Job said, God, I've only known thee by the hearing of ears, what people said. But now I see thee. So when Job said, God give and God take, it's not God that said it all. Though it's contained in the Bible, it's not the word of God. Amen? The word of Job, not word of God. God give it and God take it. I'm telling you, tomorrow, they want to do better for somebody, they will still mention it. God give and God take. Oh, God never does that. Amen? When it's your tongue, God will just point to your spirit to just come to Him. What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of nonsense is that? Amen? So one day we'll all be climbing the ladder to heaven. Amen. So that is why a believer, as we said, should pride in proper interpretation of scriptures. You should pride in it. When you are being taught God's word, pride in it. Amen. Pride in it. Because it will reflect in your worship of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it will also show also in your prayer.
By looking at the prayer, the Christian prayer ministry,
it will show in how you pray. So, we are going to ask the question, what is prayer? Let's get into our situation. What is prayer? What is prayer? The lack of what prayer is the reason why people have reduced it to a means of killing their enemies.
Some people, only when they are in trouble, that they remember prayer. Only when they have enemies that they want to kill, they know that there is something called prayer.
Prayer is for killing. Oh God, kill them. You are tempting God by that. You are pressuring Him to do what He doesn't do. God doesn't kill. I'll say it again. God doesn't kill.
God doesn't kill.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People have reduced it to God killing people. Killing my enemies. I let some people say, oh, prayer is a New Testament thing. No. Let's go down a bit into history. If you, in the ancient Near Eastern culture, prayer is used, if you hear the word prayer in their world, is what is done in the temple or a sacred place. It's a culture. Hallelujah. They do it in the temple or in the sacred place. So we can say prayer is a temple language. Prayer is a temple language. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in the Near Eastern culture, as I said, prayer is done in a temple or a sacred place. And is used, or is what is done in the temple, and is called the worship of, and is used for the worship of deities.
So
in that world, when you mention temple, what happens is when they come and there's a unity between deity and human being. This is so yet temple, everybody knows that, oh, when you go into the temple, deity and human beings are found in one place. Did you see that? In one place. That was the language in their world. So Moses borrowed temple. Amen. Moses borrowed the word temple. But what is God's perfect plan? Indwelling. Did you see that? Is it heaven and earth? Yes. So Moses is looking for the right word in their world, in his world, to show what God has said in Genesis 1, heaven and earth, and he found it in the temple. Temple is where deity and man meet. And Moses is talking about unity. Amen. Okay, follow me. So Moses borrows the temple narrative and he gives it for the children of Israel. We're going to explore this next week very well. Amen. Amen. So, in their world, temple is seen as the access to deity. And where prayer is made. So when you get to Genesis 1:1, and you see heaven and earth, which is a temple language, heaven and earth, God and man united. Not man united, God and man. In unity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will find that when Moses gives the temple, he will give the temple as a shadow. Temple is not the real thing. Amen. But it's the physical temple. The tabernacle is not the real thing. The tabernacle implies a moving temple. Amen. Amen. And the temple is a station tabernacle. You know what it means. Hallelujah. That's the thing. So when Moses gave the tabernacle, was just to show God would dwell in man. Hallelujah. Let me get something off for you, yeah? Sorry. A second. Exodus 25 verse 8. I want to show you something. Now, Moses told them to build a temple. Moses instructed them to build a tabernacle, a temple, right?
Now, in the midst of them building the tabernacle, look at what God said. He said, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell amongst them. Did you see that? That is God's intention from the Genesis. I may dwell among them. Let them make me sanctuary. The sanctuary there wasn't referring to a physical temple. No. There will be a physical temple that they are making, but God is speaking in the midst of them building a physical temple, and he said, let them make me a sanctuary. Now, before you think was referring to the physical temple, he says that I may dwell amongst them. When they use the word amongst them, there is that Hebrew word too for dwelling in them. So that I may dwell in them. So was he referring to a physical sanctuary or the sanctuary in their garden? Thank you. Not the physical one. Amen. Was referring to their hearts. Referring that I may dwell in them. That's what God said. I will dwell in them. So God's intention was not the physical sanctuary that Moses built, but the indwelling. Amen. God's family. God's union with mankind. Look at verse 8. Now, quickly. He says, according to all I have shown you, after the pattern of the tabernacle. Stop. When you use the word pattern there, listen, it shows you that what Moses was building for them was not what Moses saw. Amen. So what Moses was building for them was going to be a pattern of what he saw. Hope you're following me. So when you use the word pattern there, it's used more like a shadow, something that is used to describe what you have seen. So what did Moses see? Moses saw God and man. Hope you're following me.
What Moses saw is God and man. So what is it going to be for them? Something that will reflect that in the natural. So that means the temple is not the real thing. The temple where they went to was not the real thing. The real thing was what Moses saw, God and man. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 8 verse 5. Director of Hebrews. They didn't pick that up. Hope you're following me now. Okay.
Hebrews 8 verse 5. Are you there?
It says, who stand as an example and shadow of heavenly things. He's saying to him, look at verses 4. He said, for if on earth he should have been a priest, seeing that they are priests who offer according to the law. Now say, who serve as an example and shadow of heavenly things? He's showing that everything Moses gave to them was a shadow of heavenly things.
Amen. A shadow of heavenly things. Meaning, listen, they were not the real thing. He gave them priesthood. But what do they were priesthood after this teaching, I guess? Amen. He gave them priesthood. He gave them the divine. They were all a shadow of the real thing. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh no, what?
Was all a shadow of the real thing? Hallelujah. Look at what it says. Shadow of heavenly things. Heavenly things there means spiritual things. Heavenly things there means what? Spiritual things. So that means what Moses saw was spiritual. Not what he gave them. Now watch this. As Moses was admonished of God, when he was about to make the tabernacle, look at what he said to him. He said, see that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. Did you see that? According to the pattern. So the one pattern there will make according to what was it shown? Was it spiritual?
We see it now heavenly things, right? So he was shown heavenly things. So what he was going to do was to do something physical that must be according to that pattern. Okay, following me.
And that was when he gave them the tabernacle to show forth what he had seen spiritual. Heaven and earth. God and man. Hope you are here with me. Hope you are here with me. Glory to God. So, when you find heaven and earth is a temple language. And the activity, an activity you will find in the temple will be that of prayer.
You will find prayer as an activity in the temple. Prayer will be an activity in the temple.
Prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, prayer is a temple language. Prayer is a temple language. Prayer is worship. Prayer is worship. Prayer is used to show man bowing to the supremacy of God's ability. It's used to show man bowing to the supremacy of God's ability. Therefore, when sacrifices are offered, one of the relevance of sacrifices, when you find sacrifices in the Old Testament book, is worship. And can also signify praying. Sacrifices can also signify praying. Worship and can also signify prayer to pray. So Moses brings all this together. He brings all these things to show what God's temple is all about. Worship of God,
right?
Prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that.
Glory to God. Now, remember, Moses gave them the temple after they came out of Egypt. Or before they came out of Egypt, before they got into Egypt, the patriarchs didn't have anything called temple. But they understood heaven and earth. Did you see that? Hope you have seen that. They understood heaven and earth. They understood God's plan. They understood Hallelujah. Okay, follow me.
Okay. One of the patriarchs that we found that prayed is Abraham. Let's get to Abraham. Genesis quickly. Chapter 18. Once you know this, we'll begin to close down on some of these things by next week into upper week as we get prepared for workers' convention. Genesis 18, verse 22.
This is the Abraham received visitors. God visited Abraham.
And verse 22. And the men turned their faces from hence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? By adventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? We looked
at this during Revelation of God, right? And we said what God went to do in Sodom was not to destroy Sodom. What God went to do in Sodom was first to rescue Lot and the family. Right? So we saw God's role in Sodom was that of rescue, deliverance, save, salvation. Did you see that? Make sure you are around this weekend too. We'll continue from there. But I'll say some other things today that to fill up some gaps. Amen.
Glory to God. So, very vital. So, what Abraham did in Genesis 18 from verse 22 to 29, some people think Abraham was having a discussion, a rapport with God. No. What Abraham did is what is called prayer. Prayer. Abraham supplicated. That's where we find the word to.
Where I didn't find was supplication. Amen. Supplication. That's prayer. Supplication.
Hallelujah. Supplication means, or supplication, to supplicate involves to make strong petition concerning someone or something. Strong petition. So concerning someone or something, he needed God to intervene and rescue the righteous. So what did he do? He supplicated. He made petition for Sodom. He made petition. Hallelujah. So therefore, prayer is not a New Testament thing. In quotes. New Testament thing. It's not a New Testament thing. Hallelujah. It is God's plan from the Genesis. God's plan from the Genesis. Hallelujah. And it will be done in God's temple.
You see that?
It will be done in God's temple.
God's sacred place.
God's temple. Amen.
Prayer will be done in God's temple.
We're going to see more of that from next week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Therefore, a primary activity in the local church, we're going to get there. But a primary activity in the local church is teaching, right? We've seen that. Hallelujah. Let's go further. Let's see some commentary by Jesus. Jesus in John chapter 2. John 2. Quickly. John 2. Verse 16. And I told you what Jesus did there was not that he was flogging people. No. Jesus was making an example. I've taught us that, right? He was showing an example. He taught, and then he now gave example. So, in that example, in verse 16, he took out those who sold in the temple. Did you see that? He took out those who sold in the temple, and he said, take these things out hence and make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Do you see that? A house of merchandise.
You need to mark what I'm about to say to you.
Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. merchandise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as he did, he was teaching in the temple, and he said, you don't make the house, the Father's house, which is the temple. Watch, he was in the temple, which is a shadow of the real temple, right? So inside the temple, he said, make not my Father's house. So where is the shadow of it? The physical temple, right? So he then gave them an example by taking away those who sold in the temple. Hallelujah. Let's see how Matthew will put that illustration, or will put this word, Matthew 12, verses 13. Matthew 12, verse 13. Wow, that's Matthew 12. Sorry, that's actually Matthew 21, verse 13. Matthew 21, 13. Look at what he says. Jesus read two scriptures together, Jeremiah and Isaiah. And look at what he said. He drove the money changers. He overturned their table and he said, it is written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. You listen up? For you have made it a den of thieves. Amen. Amen. Did he say that? My Father's house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. House of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. You find it also in Mark 11, 15. So mark two things. My Father's house and the temple was a shadow shall be called the house of prayer. He was reading Isaiah 56 verse 7. Let's get to Isaiah 56 7. Quickly. Into 8. Look at what it says. It says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. So when it says holy mountain, is it referring to the temple too? Thank you. Amen. So listen.
Something we're going to see in the coming years. When I use the word mountains many times, mountains and hills are used for heaven. I've shown you that before, right? Heaven is not used for a planet outside the earth. Heaven is used for the shadow of it, is used for your seen world. Many times, hills and mountains are called heaven. Amen. When Moses came down from the mountains, it was said he came down from heaven. Amen. Glory to God. So heaven, so when he hears holy mountain, who will he bring to the holy mountain? Is it heaven and earth? Is it heaven and earth? Is it heaven and earth? Thank you. I make them joyful in my house of prayer. You listen up? Their burnt offering and sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. So what is describing prayer here, and he calls it offerings. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Did you see that? For my house shall be called an house of for all. The all people there, will be people that are called into his holy mountain. Yes. Amen. Amen. Did you see that? So what does it, so many times when you get into the book of Leviticus and you see the sacrifices there and continual sacrifices there, many times it was pointing to prayer. Hallelujah. It was pointing to prayer as a worship of God. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So Isaiah described prayer as offerings, burnt offerings. Hope you're following me now. Hope you're following me. Then he reads that together. He reads. So what Jesus has done is to read Isaiah into Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7 verse 11. Look at Jeremiah 7.
He says, is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. If you read before, he was talking about what was done there. Verses 9 say, we yet still murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense, stones to Baal, and walk after God which you have not known, and have come and stand before me in this house. He said, would this house be called a house of, did you see that? Hallelujah. Meaning, whatever, listen, what should be done in this house? The house shall be called the house of prayer. So when any other thing is done outside prayer, it is called what? A den of thieves. Did you see that? So the moment prayer is not vital, it's not a vital activity in the house, you may be a den of robbers. Meaning you are misusing it. You are dishonoring it.
Hallelujah.
Hope you are seeing that. You are dishonoring it. You are misusing it. It is the house of prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, what is the house of God? When you say what is the house of God, you're asking what is the essence of the temple, right? What is the essence of the temple? What is the house of God? John 14. Verses 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If you were not so, I wouldn't have told you I go prepare a place for you. Do you see that? And if I go and prepare a place for you, how come I can receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you be also. I've explained that to you, right? So what does he call the Father's house? Where he is, where that is where we'll be also. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So the Father's house is
where he is. Glory to God. Amen. In my Father's house.
So he goes on to explain that to us. What the Father's house is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, look at, he says, I will come and receive you unto myself. So he referred to his Father's house as unto himself. And he was referring to it in the resurrection. I will come again. Amen. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he describes his Father's house as what is done in the resurrection. Let's see that what is done in the resurrection, verse 16. I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because he sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Did you see that? So in the resurrection, we'll have the Spirit in us. Hallelujah. That will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 20, and in that day, resurrection, right? The day receives you to himself. Hallelujah. In that day you know I'm in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what is the essence of the temple? What is the Father's house? The Father's house is what you have in verse 17, in verse 21. 1, it says, even the Spirit of truth the world cannot receive, because neither sees him nor know him, but ye know him. For he dwells with you, and shall be in you. Hallelujah. So that when it says dwell in you, we're talking about what? All of them together, right? Together, in the gathering, he dwells with you. Hallelujah. So the essence of the temple is our gathering together. It's our gathering together. That's it. Our gathering together. I shall be in you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Also, we are his temple. We are called his temple because we belong to the gathering. Hallelujah. But the gathering is first his temple. Hallelujah. What we are following me. We are his temple. Tell him his temple. Paul picks that. topics that we're going to see that in Paul. So therefore, if you say you are his temple, if we say the church, the local church is his temple, it therefore means that a man who is not praying, I'll start like this. If the church is his temple, I would say the primary activity in the local church is teaching, right? Or add another one, a vital activity. The primary activity is teaching, a vital activity in the local church is praying. A vital activity. Because praying will flow from teaching. I'm teaching you now, right? So prayer will flow from it. Hallelujah. So a vital activity is praying. I will say when a man, I will look back again in the Genesis, Exodus, the first numbers, the chapter, we said prayer in their world is submitting to the power of deity or the power of God. Hallelujah. Therefore, if a man is not praying, or put a man who is not praying is a man who says he doesn't need God's help. A man who doesn't pray is a man who is saying to God, I don't need your help. And that will be a lie from the devil. Because man was created to need God's help. Hope you're hearing me. That's why in Genesis he says, I will make him and help me. That is, God is saying, I will be to help me. So when a man refuses God's help, the man is walking in the lies of the devil. Exactly what Satan said to Eve. Hallelujah. You don't need God's help. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. Did I show you that to us? Is that human class or? I need a show. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that would be a lie he told to Eve. A deceit of the devil. When you feel you don't need God's help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember what I said. The moment prayer is not vital, it's not a vital activity in the house, then you have missed God. You are misusing what the house is for. You are walking in dishonor. Prayer is vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we can say the gathering is God's temple. Can we say that? Our gathering is God's temple. We are God's temple. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15, we begin to close. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 15. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. I was referring to their gathering. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God. When we are gathered together, we are God's temple. Hallelujah. God's temple! But God's temple. That means a vital activity in our midst is prayer. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 6, 16. You see that again. It says, what? Know ye not? Sorry. Yeah, that which is done to a harlot is one body. For the two shall become one flesh. See, that which is done to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. 19. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means an activity that must be found with me as a believer is prayer. If I believe that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? A primary vital activity I must take up as a believer is the activity of prayer. Hope you're hearing me. Is the activity of prayer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you're seeing that. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, everybody. It says, 2 Corinthians 6, 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Or what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement is the temple of God with idol? For ye are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. For as God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So when I give my body, when I give the gathering of believers, give myself to any other activity and it's not praying activity, I'm defiling what the temple is for. Hallelujah. I must not give myself to any other activity outside praying activity, outside spiritual activity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know there are people who are calling for I want to give my prayer request to prayer warriors. They are missing. I want to join prayer band. They are missing. That very word, prayer warriors, prayer band, it shows the activity of prayer. Prayer is actually what they like. Prayer is actually, when you hear prayer band, prayer band, that word band is used for band of soldiers as they go into battles. So people now say, oh, I want to give it to prayer band, thinking they are the warriors. No. Every temple of God, everyone who is born again is a prayer warrior. Amen? Everyone! You don't need a prayer warrior, you are God's prayer warrior. Hope you hear me. You are God's prayer band. Everyone, every believer. Not a few, not some people. Not a segment. Amen. Okay, you hear me? We are all. We are all. So when the activity of a believer, a whole week, no time to pray. A whole day, no time to pray. Then you are making God's temple a den of sin. You are saying, God, I don't trust in your help. But no, I trust in God's help. Hallelujah. God is my help. Hallelujah. So the moment I get on praying, I'm submitting to His will. The moment I get on praying, I'm saying, God, you are my help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God made it that way. That you find sufficiency with Him. He made it that way. Hallelujah. So you believe must take on an activity. How to stir your heart? How to stir your heart this week? What activities do you take on? The church provides days for you to pray. Some people don't even show up. But we don't see in prayer meetings. It therefore shows to your pastor that you are not praying. Don't you know? You're not praying. Because your public prayer life is a reflection of your private prayer life. The reflection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are raising back this prayer altar. We are raising back this prayer sign. Hallelujah. I'm God's agent of change. Amen. I believe God. And I trust in Him. I'm His temple. And I carry on the activity of prayer. I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I take on praying activities and I take it on seriously. It shows, Lord, I'm submitting to your will. Today, tomorrow, every day. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at the Christian prayer ministry. We have a ministry. Every single one of us will have a ministry of prayer. Every single one of us. To pray. Take on praying activities. Are you still? Are you stable? Do you believe in praying power? Do you believe? You think of praying power. I'm a prayer warrior.
pastor, no.
No!
Every believer.
You know, the way you look at it, say, prayer warrior, oh, that sounds like Pastor Richard, but no, it's not him.
Hallelujah.
He's every believer. The number of reasons God's back to life.
Including you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah?
Including you.
Including you.
Amen.
So don't get to laugh at people say, I'm a prayer machine. Say, you don't know the word. Ah, but then they say, you know Christian. Somebody is saying that the prayer machine, I say, I'm not a prayer, I know the word. The moment I know you know the word, I will find it in your prayer. Amen? Don't talk like that person you have faith. No, the word, I just give thanks to the Lord. Thanks to the Lord, thank you. You know me, I know you. Oh, thank you.
That blessing is fine.
Ah,
oh, oh Lord.
I see somebody praying.
I say, we are not in the new covenant.
Don't worry.
Glory to God.
That is prayer house.
That is prayer house.
That is prayer temple. Can you do a practice of that? Can you do a practice of that? Can you do a practice of that? Let's have it.
Name the double ladder so secure.